please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 46. Psalms, chapter 46. Getting rid of that mint, I was thinking about the preacher that someone asked one time how it was that he always finished his messages at the same time every day. Every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, exactly the same length of preaching, right on the button. But he didn't wear a watch. He frowned on people looking at their watches. There was no clock in the back of the building, but he always finished the same time. And someone said, "How do you do that?" And he took out this box of mints, and he says, "You take one of these mints, you put it in your mouth, and when it's gone, you're done." Everybody said, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good idea." Well, one Sunday he got up. You know, pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before the fall. So one day he got up and he preached, and he preached, and he preached. People were looking at their watches, they were even shaking their watches, thinking they surely must have stopped. Something's going wrong here. What's going on? And so finally the preacher stops, excused himself, took what he thought was a mint out of his pocket, and he had put a button in instead of a mint. So hallelujah. I don't have a button nor a mint in my mouth this morning. Maybe we can do this right. I want to please the Lord today. I want to share with you from the Scriptures a great invitation. We want to talk about some of the Bible's greatest invitations. Psalms chapter 46, beginning in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bows of the bow and scattereth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah." That word Selah, again, means stop and think about what God has just said. He says that in 11 verses now. He said it three times. So there must be a lot in Psalms chapter 46 for us to think about. And so let's ask the Lord now to help us to think about the right things today. Okay, Father, we do praise you, Father, for this book. We thank you, Lord, for the book within the book of Psalms. And we thank you, Lord, for the chapters within that great book that comfort us, Lord, that instruct us, that even command us. And Lord, they're just written for us, for our admonition, for our growth, for our support. We praise you for the Bible. Now, Lord, I ask you to give great clarity. Lord, sometimes our speaking gets confused, and sometimes our hearing gets confused. And Lord, we just ask tonight that every person would be able to hear, would be able to understand, would be able to make decisions based on the Bible today. Father, we pray for just a real working of the Holy Spirit of God to do that which we cannot do. Thank you for each one that's here. I pray you'd work in their hearts, work in their lives. Help us, Lord, to leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. We praise you for that opportunity and that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. During a person's lifetime, there are many invitations that we receive. We receive invitations to church. Some of you, perhaps, were at one time invited to this church. Someone called you on the phone, or someone at work, or someone, a neighbor or a family member or something, said, "Hey, why don't you come and go to church with me?" And you accepted that invitation, and here you are. Others, another invitation that people get is they receive an invitation to come for an interview. If you've been looking for a job for a while, and they say, "We want you to interview, come at a certain time." Boy, that's a good day. That's a wonderful thing. And then sometimes you're invited for a meal. I heard about the preacher that was invited for dinner, and he showed up at the lady's house. He's an evangelist. He showed up at the house of the lady that invited him. He got there at noon. She said that there's going to be several families joining us, so the preacher wanted to be on time, so he showed up at noon, and she looked at him when he got to the door and kind of had a puzzled look on her face, but she invited him in, and her husband was in the other room, and they sat there and visited for a while, and he kept looking at his watch and looking at his watch and looking at his watch, and finally, he said to the husband, he said, are we going to eat dinner or not? He said, well, yes, sir. We were wondering why you were here so early. Dinner's at 5 o'clock. He said, where I come from, dinner's at noon. And they said, well, there's been a little bit of a mix-up, so dinner was at 5 o'clock. At my house, we eat dinner at noon. We eat supper at night. You know, that's biblical. That's biblical. That's what the Bible talks about, is supper, not dinner. But anyway, to be invited to a meal at someone's house is a wonderful thing, especially if you know from experience that they're a good cook. And then, of course, there's times when you get invited to a popular house. Maybe it's somebody who's making his way in politics or making his way politically some way, making his way in the arena of society, and you're invited to his home and you're just excited about going. There's invitations that we receive in life. And then there's many people who make invitations. Parents make invitations. They say, why don't you kids come on back over and we'll have supper or we'll have a picnic or whatever. You come back over. Parents make invitations. Neighbors make invitations. They invite you to come over to their house for whatever might be going on. Friends and family members and business owners all make invitations for us to come. And through life, we must get thousands and thousands and thousands of invitations for different things. But the greatest invitation that was ever given is when a person was invited by the Holy Ghost of God to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him as their Savior, and those invitations that involved Him wanting to work in our life. And there's many of them, and we're going to review a couple of those this morning. In Genesis chapter number 7, we find that the Lord has found that there's wickedness all over the world and that every thought of the human heart was only evil continually, and it had repented God that He made man, and He said, I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. And could I remind you that Jesus said that in the last days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Don't let it surprise you when you pick up the newspaper and it says so many people were killed in Chicago, or so many people were killed in somewhere in California, or so many people were killed in Charles County. Don't be surprised by that, for the Bible says like it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be that way in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so we can understand that wickedness is going to get worse and worse. Well, when God decided He was going to destroy the world, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so we find that God had looked at Noah, and Noah had trusted Jesus Christ and what He was going to do. We look back at what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross, and in that we find salvation. But Noah looked ahead to what Jesus was going to do and found the same salvation. And he built an ark, and he didn't build the ark to save himself. Someone says, there's proof that you have to work to be saved. No, the Bible says that he built the ark to the saving of his household. And there's proof that there's some things you better do if you want your family saved. But you're saved by grace and not by faith. You're saved by a faith that works, but you're saved by grace and not by faith. And so, as God looked at Noah and saw his situation, this was the invitation he gave. He says, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And so in this invitation, I find that God not only wants to invite us, but He wants entire families to come to Christ. You know, it's a sad thing when daddy or mom wants to serve the Lord, or daddy or the children, or the parents or the children want to serve the Lord. That's a sad thing. It's good that some of them want to, but why not all of them? It's God's will that entire families serve the Lord Jesus together. And so we find the Bible says that he was invited. He and all of his house were invited. What a great invitation that was. And then we find in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so let me say that in most invitations, there is a time limit. God says, come now. In the New Testament, he says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And people fiddle around and mess around with God's invitation. And, you know, sometimes you get an invitation for something, and you'll take a magnet and stick it on the refrigerator and forget all about it. Sometimes you put it in the back of your Bible and forget all about it. But people do that with the invitation to come to Christ. They want to put him off and put him off and put him off. And God says, come now. Come now. Now is the accepted time. You cannot get saved yesterday. You don't know that you have tomorrow. And so the Bible invitation is for now. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. And then in Matthew 11, verse number 28, Jesus said, come. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so I think that there are some specific blessings when we answer the invitation that God has given to us. It's a wonderful thing when you have an invitation and you accept the invitation, and while you're there, you get more than what you were invited to. You get a blessing, you get a bonus, you get an extra something or another. And so it is with the Lord. When you answer an invitation that the Lord gives you, He'll always give you more than He promised you. I tire of people who say that God doesn't keep His promises, but God always keeps His promises plus. In fact, He says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. God says, you can't even imagine the great things I have in store for you if you'll just answer my invitation, do what you're supposed to do. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 28, the Bible says, Peter answered him. This is when Jesus came to the disciples. They were in a ship, they were in a storm, and Jesus came to them walking on the water, and the Bible says, and Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Could I say that the invitation usually involves faith? Someone says, I've got to know. If I just knew. No, if you choose, you'll know. You know, when I got saved, a man opened up the book. He read to me how to be saved. I looked at that situation, and it was the best thing that I had seen in my entire life. I said, that's what I want. I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. He saved me. He took my sin and put it in the depths of the sea. He put it behind Him where He can never remember it again. He removed it as far from Him as east is from west. And the Bible testifies that I was saved that day. But you know, I didn't have any guarantee. He didn't sit there and say, well, now, if I don't save you like I said I would, you get your double money back. No, He didn't say that. He didn't say, you can call me a liar for the rest of my... No, He didn't say that. He just said, if you'll come, if you'll do what I say to do, I'll save you. And by faith, I trusted what He said, and He did what He said He'd do. He saved me. When Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you walking on the water, and Jesus said, come. Come. Oh, what a happy day it was for Peter when he jumped out of that ship and landed on the water, and it was just like concrete under his feet. And he walked out and his faith paid off. Now, when he saw the wind bolstering, he got his eyes off the Lord Jesus. He started to sink. But even then, Jesus rescued him. And they walked back on that same water together to the same boat that he by faith had gotten out of. Invitations from the Lord usually involve faith, putting into practice that which God has told us to do. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 17, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The invitation that God gives to us are usually in preparation for our service for Him. Jesus said, come unto me, I'll make you to be fishers of men. When I got married, I hadn't done much fishing, and the fishing I'd done, you know, wasn't very serious or anything. But my father-in-law loved to fish. And I'd watch him fish and watch him fish. I used to get mad because I'd be sitting right beside him using the same kind of bait that he was using, holding my mouth the same way he was holding his mouth, putting my bait out there as close to his bait as I could possibly get it without him getting angry at me. And he'd catch a fish and I wouldn't. But nonetheless, I learned some things. And Jesus said, come and follow me and I'll teach you some things about fishing for men. We're great ones for picking up manuals and saying, you know, how to. When it comes to fishing for men, the how to is to follow Jesus. Jesus said, come, follow me. I'll make you to be fishers of men. And then we find in John chapter 7, verse number 37, the Bible said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Could I say, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come. There are no limits to whom is able to come to Jesus if they come serious. If they come, Jesus doesn't care what color you are. Jesus doesn't care what country you came from. Jesus doesn't care what side of the street you live on. Jesus doesn't care how much education you have or don't have. Jesus doesn't care how many clothes you have in your closet, whether they came from the Goodwill store or Macy's. Jesus doesn't care about that. Jesus doesn't care if you wear tennis shoes or you wear Tony Lamas. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus said, whosoever may come unto me. If any man thirst, listen, if you have a thirsting in your soul, if there's a hunger in you, if there's something inside you that cries out and says, there has to be something more than just getting up and going to bed and getting up and going to bed. There has to be something more than this. And if you hunger and you thirst, there's an invitation that the Lord Jesus wants to give you, and that invitation is to come unto Him, that He can meet your thirsty needs and He can meet your hunger needs. In our text today, in Psalms 46, we find that this invitation is actually divided into two parts. Jesus said, or the Word of God says, the Holy Spirit said to these sons of Korah, Jesus says, come, behold the works of the Lord. And as we think about that for just a little bit, he says to come, that's the invitation. You know, get up and go to Him. Get up and go to Him. But here He says, I want you to come and I want you to behold. You know, I'm grateful that the Lord doesn't want us to believe without any evidence. We'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But He gives us evidence to support of what He says. He says, come, behold the works of the Lord. The word behold there means to see. It means to perceive. It means to understand. It means to look, listen. It means to look with intelligence. It means to not just cast it away because someone said it's foolishness. Not just cast it away because someone else doesn't believe it. Not just cast it away because it's old-fashioned. Not just cast it away because some educated person says you can't trust it. The word behold means to look with intelligence. It means to see by experience. And so the Lord says to us, behold, come, behold the works of the Lord. I tried to understand from the Lord which of His works He would want us to look at today. Which of those works would best explain who He is and what He is and why He came and the plan He has for people. We think about creation. You know, in the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we need to understand that that's just the way it was. It didn't take millions of years or billions of years or thousands of years. In a moment of time, God spoke, and it was so. And in 6 days, God created life, and God created light, and God created man and woman, all those things. In 6 days, dry land, a firmament between the waters above the earth and the waters on the earth, and that great firmament that was there that He called heaven. God created those things. And God says, would you just come? Would you just come and take an honest look at the creation that I've created? He tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 5. The Bible says, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and the spirit to them that walk therein. That's the God that created it. Psalms 89 and verse number 12. Listen to this. God has created things that you never ever thought of. I don't know how many times I've read through this book. I don't know how many times. I never, until this past week, never saw that God created this. Listen to what the Bible says. In Psalms 89 and verse number 12, the Bible says, the north and the south, thou hast created them. Did you ever stop to think that God made the north and the south? If God made the north and the south, He probably made the east and the west too, don't you suppose? But for sure He made the north and the south because He said He did. God created things that we've never thought of. And the Bible says of the creation, He says these things were made for our enjoyment, for our pleasure. They're made by Him, but He made all things freely for us to enjoy. We have a good Creator today. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16, moving into the New Testament, the Bible says, for by Him, by the Lord Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. It's all made by Him. John 1 and verse number 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so when we look at creation, when we behold creation, God says, come. Come, I'm inviting you to come and behold the works of the Lord. Would you just take time to examine the things that God has created? I love the trees of Maryland. The green and the trees, I love them. And I understand that they're losing their leaves early this year because things are so dry. That's what I've been told by people who know, and I'll accept that. But even that, even the way God worked it out, where trees without moisture drop these beautiful leaves. Now, I don't especially like the leaves when they're on the ground, but I sure do like them when they're hanging up there changing their colors. My wife and I, again this morning, not only did we see a bird over here, but we looked over here and we saw a patch. It looked like it was about that big probably, out through the neighbor's trees and over to another neighbor's trees. And listen, that foliage was was as red as any fire engine you've ever seen. Beautiful they were. Created for us to enjoy this morning with a cup of coffee as we enjoy the creation of God. Oh, that we get to know Him and be known by Him. What a wonderful thing that is. And could I say that creation was for a purpose. God didn't just make things to show off His power. He didn't just make things because He could. He made things for a purpose. We need to understand that just creation itself speaks of a Creator. You know, I was talking to a man a while back, and we were standing in front of this big building. He said, I don't believe that there's a Creator. And I said, you don't? He says, I don't believe that there's a Creator. And I said, I'll bet you believe there's a Creator of this building. Oh, well, that's different. I said, yeah, because that's kindergarten stuff compared to the world. It is. That is foolishness. Because this building is kindergarten stuff compared to the universe. But this building proves that someone built it, and the universe proves that someone built it. Someone designed it. Someone formed it. Someone planned it. Someone put it into position. Someone holds it there today. That's the Lord Jesus that lives in your heart if you're born again. That's the Lord Jesus that died on the cross that you might have life. That's the Lord Jesus who not only died, but He rose again, victorious over sin, death, and the grave, and is able to save to the uttermost all them that come to God by Him. I believe that creation, not only does it show the majesty and the power and the splendor and the wonder and the mind, the marvelous mind and thinking of God. Who could have imagined four seasons? Who could have imagined all the different plants that would survive those four seasons and the changes in the animal life during those four seasons and how things grow? And the Bible talks about the bones of a child growing within his mother. Who could have designed all that but a wonderful, loving, kind, compassionate, merciful God? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we serve if we're saved and doing right. It's no wonder that David one day, I'm thinking that he was probably out on a mountainside, maybe kind of a pasture, with a little stream running down below. He is away from the city a ways, and it was nighttime, and there were no city lights, no traffic hustling by and disturbing his thinking. And he looked up toward glory, and this is what he said. When I consider thy heavens, he must have been talking to the Lord, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? David said, when I look at creation, I see my own worthlessness. I see my own smallness, my own littleness. I see my worthlessness in comparison to what God is. I see my weakness in His strength. I see my foolishness in His wisdom. I see my wanting to duplicate, and He all the time creates. David says, as I look at the heavens and the creation of God, I see myself as incomplete without Him. You know, it's a sad thing when you get a jigsaw puzzle, maybe 1,000 pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, and you start putting it together, and you get it all together, but you can't find that one piece. That one piece is missing. And you look for it. And you look for it. You ask everybody in the house if they've seen it. You want to ask the dog if you can x-ray his stomach. Maybe he ate it. You're looking for this piece. You can't find it. You can't find it. You look everywhere. You can't find it. So it is with the peace of God. The path is all understanding. People put together a patchwork thing of life. They have just the right education. They have just the right job. They have just the right income. They have just the right car. They have just the right clothes. But in the still of the night, they know that there's something missing. And they go to the college professor, and he can't help them. They go to the psychiatrist, and he can't help them. They check out with the friends, and the friends say, well, if I were to be openly honest, I'd have to say, I'm missing that same part in my life. Could I today recommend Jesus as the part that fills the gap, the missing part in so many people's lives? And then could I say to you today, that if Jesus is worth dying with, and He certainly is, I've seen people die with Him. I've seen people die without Him. I'm so glad I know Jesus. But if He's worth dying with, listen to me today, child of God, He's worth living for. If He's worth dying with, He's worth living for. And I trust today that you'll accept the invitation. The invitation said, come, behold the works of the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please?